On this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success, we're going to talk about training your recruiters and the importance of ongoing training as we head into the uncertainty of 2020. Today's episode is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. If you're like most staffing firms, finding a good candidate right now is a major struggle. At Haley Marketing, we have a number of tools that will help you recruit both active and passive candidates, drive more traffic to your job board, and increase applications. To learn more, give us a call at 888-696-2900.
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with innovators and thought leaders in the staffing and recruiting industries. Your host for Secrets of Staffing Success is Todd Lewandowski. And now, here's Todd.
Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is the Vice President of Professional Development at HealthTrust Workforce Solutions. He's John Ruffini. John, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, I really look forward to having you on because training, professional development, I think is one of those areas that is maybe kind of an afterthought. You know, I think we get so wrapped up in the day-to-day and we get so wrapped up in, making our calls and placing people and you know, closing those deals that we kind of forget about professional development. So I was really excited to have you on. So before we get into it, if you wouldn't mind just kind of giving us your 60-second elevator pitch for HealthTrust Workforce Solutions and what you do and what your role is there.
Happy to. HealthTrust Workforce Solutions is a healthcare staffing organization. We are part of HCA Healthcare, which is the largest for-profit hospital system in the country. Currently, HealthTrust is the number one MSP, managed service provider in the healthcare space, and the number one per diem nurse staffing firm in the country. So while we deliver both clinical and non-clinical talent to hospitals in a variety of areas, including locums, allied, interim executives, our biggest component is nurse staffing. We offer local, per diem, travel registered nurses throughout the country. And overall, our main purpose is to deliver the very best patient care possible.
And how did you get started in this industry? You know, it's probably my favorite question that I ask of all of our guests because the answers are so varied. So how did you get into this field?
Yeah, I've yet to meet someone who goes to school to learn how to be a recruiter.
Yep.
And, you know, I like most kind of fell into this industry. Mm-hmm. I wasn't looking to be a recruiter. You know, early on in my professional career, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And at the time, I mean, my degree is in computer science. So I was a programmer for the first 7 years of my professional life. And it wasn't something that I loved. And I was really at a crossroads. I'm like, all right, what do I want to do? And how can I make a bigger impact and enjoy what I'm doing? So it was funny, Todd. I started calling different recruiting firms in the area. And all of them were just saying, hey, send us your resume. We'll let you know if I have anything. And I'm like, well, my resume doesn't really indicate what I want to do moving forward.
Right.
And only one recruiter said, why don't you come in and let's talk? So I went to meet with that recruiter, spent about an hour with him. And based on the questions he asked and the information I shared, he suggested that I consider professional recruiting as a career option. I went to work for that firm and never looked back. That was 25 plus years ago.
Yeah, your story is pretty much 100% similar to every guest that we've had on this podcast so far. Like you said, nobody actually does go to school to become a recruiter. And I think that's, you know, a conversation for another day about, you know, what this,
right.
what we could be doing to further this industry. But, you know, I hesitate to start off on a bad note, but I think we need to kind of break things down a little bit to understand really the state of training and professional development in this industry. So where does this industry really fall off when it comes to training recruiters?
Well, you made a good point earlier, Todd, when I think, you know, training and development in general for a recruiting firm is an investment from leadership and executive management to put in the budget that, hey, we're going to invest in our people with the hope that if we do the right training and development, that they will improve the bottom line results of the company. So this is a very loaded question. And training across our industry is so varied. I've seen firms that have excellent training, even over the top, and others that have absolutely none. And it's kind of like, hey, sit next to Betty and just watch her and do what she does. And I think where the industry falls off is in having newer recruiters that come into our world master the fundamentals of the business before they develop bad habits. You know, we need to instill in young recruiters that recruiting at its core is all about developing relationships. It's not about what the candidate can do for you or what the, or what job they can fill for you. It's about what you, the recruiter, can do for them. And I always say that even though recruiting is a sales role, if you do your job correctly and listen to what the candidate and the client tell you that they want, you never really have to sell anything. And that's where I think recruiting training falls off. So many are just focused on making the fill, getting that placement, and not actually providing a solution that benefits everybody involved and in cultivating that relationship past that first placement.
Let's even take a step back further here. You know, before training actually starts and onboarding starts, we need to hire the right people. So, you know, for, in your mind, what are some of the key traits that owners should be looking at when they're hiring recruiters?
It's very interesting that you asked that at a time where talent is such a rare commodity nowadays. It's caused me to kind of rethink what I used to think about this exact question. So, you know, every hiring manager has their idea of what profile will work in recruiting. And, you know, there's no one way to do this business and there's no one silver bullet profile that says, hey, if you hire this type of person, they will always be successful. So my advice now to hiring managers is not to have any preconceived biases. Explore the talent spectrum. You know, I've hired former sales professionals, athletes, people from pedigree schools. I've also hired a guy who was a baggage handler for an airline and a recent grad with zero sales experience, and all have been successful. Again, I was a computer programmer and went into recruiting. Now, that's one thing that I have seen that is very effective. I believe in the framework where you hire, if you hire people from within the industry they'll be recruiting for, and teach them how to recruit. I mean, they already know the industry and probably have a network of people within it to start with. They get the lingo, they get the ins and outs, they can talk the talk with the candidates and clients. They just need to learn how to recruit the right way. That's where your training and development comes in. If you can find that profile, it adds tremendous value and builds instant credibility, which is very hard for recruiters to gain. They just need to learn the right way to do it. But, you know, I think you got to keep an open mind when hiring, especially in today's market. Don't be hell-bent on one specific background. I do believe that you need to commit to a process. So, you know, the hiring managers have to have a process that their team commits to with respect to hiring. You know, develop a list of characteristics or qualities that every hire has to have, as well as those that are red flags. You know, take the emotion out of the hiring process and make sure you deliver a very good candidate experience, the best possible, and move it at a swift pace. You know, candidates have to feel like they're engaged and getting a great experience. They have to see the fact that management can make swift decisions when hiring. And finally, I think it's uber important to hire for culture. That may, you know, that may be the most important aspect of a new hire above everything else.
You know, I think too often we're worried about the training during the onboarding process. And that's important, obviously. But then a lot of times it's, okay, we've trained you now, we're throwing you into the fire. But we do need to remain focused on that ongoing education. So what areas in particular should we be looking at for continuing education for recruiters, especially in this marketplace right now?
Great question. After, you know, everybody wants to learn and grow, even your top producers, they often get ignored because, hey, they're just doing their thing and they're leading the charge and they can't learn anything else, which is not true. That's often the biggest challenge demographic to try and cultivate, you know, or develop training for. But after, you know, after educating recruiters on fundamentals, I believe education becomes a bit personal. There's going to be different topics that you say, hey, everybody can benefit from these things. But on an individual basis, management has to be engaged at the desk level, in my opinion, and really tune into where a person's strengths and weaknesses are with respect to their recruiting cycle from start to finish. I'm a big believer in constant role playing and making it a staple in every bullpen on you know, across the country. You know, you need to challenge your recruiters with scenarios, objections that you know they'll encounter, help them become better wordsmiths, both verbally and written. Stay in tune with market trends, especially technology. Make sure they have the tools that will complement the recruiting, but that they won't become a crutch and hurt them. You know, I think leaders need to really, really be well-read and well-networked to keep pace of how the recruiting climate is changing and take the relevant information back to the recruiters in real time so they can apply it to their desks. You know, there are a number of areas where you could say, well, you should have a training for this and a training for that and a training for this. But I think you get the biggest bang for your buck if you can tune in to the individual and unearth their true potential. And that's on a case-by-case basis on what they need from you.
Is that, if I'm a recruiter manager or if I'm an owner of a firm and I hear that, to me, that sounds like it's a lot of work. Because if I have five recruiters, I need to come up with five different training programs, custom fit. So how can they kind of streamline that a little bit and make it a little bit easier?
It is a lot of work. And again, it's an investment. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of managers don't feel like they can spend the time to do that because it's time away from whatever they're doing before. It's an upfront investment. And it's really more of an investment early on than it is later. And it's, you know, I would, you know, when I ran branches and regions, Todd, I would literally, you know, I'd strap on the headset and I'd be on the phone with my recruiters an hour at a time with each one and constantly listening to both ends of the conversation, kind of listening how they handled certain things and coaching them through to better handle them and better manage them. You know, if you have the right person in the desk, you're only going to have to make that observation and enhancement once and they'll get it. And they'll see the benefit. I also think that managers need to lead by example. There were plenty of times where in those scenarios, I'd make a call and let them listen to me. So again, I'm not perfect. And, you know, I always loved it when calls would bomb because the recruiters would see that, hey, everybody's human and you always make bad calls. But for the most part, you know, your real-time training on what you believe fundamentally is the best way to do this business and how to navigate through conversations. And really not so much be focused on, you know, if they say this, I say that. But, you know, learn the art of just having a conversation and being a real person and treating the person on the other line like a person and not a commodity. Mm. I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. I think it just comes down to this is the cost of doing business now, that you have to make that time. You have to make that investment in everybody individually, and you can't just have those, you know, that blanket training or the, you know, the blanket resources for everybody, that everybody is has unique needs. And, you know, like you said, this is the cost of doing business now. You can't ignore it.
It's really the reinforcement, if you will. So I can take a group of recruiters and I can train them in a classroom and I can, you know, teach them and work with them and be interactive, regardless of how interactive that training is. The proof is when they get back to their desks and what do they do on the job? Mm-hmm. As in the position I'm in now, I don't always have a direct line of sight to that. So you have to rely on your managers to reinforce the techniques that they're being taught in the classroom to make sure that they're doing the job the way that we want it done. Does that make sense? Because if not, then you could provide all the training in the world, but if you're not providing the support and the reinforcement to make sure that they're applying the training, it's not going to have as much of an impact.
Yeah. In this industry, there's obviously the concept of the 360 desk, which is, you know, those who sell and recruit. And to outsiders, that may seem a little much. You're essentially doing two jobs at once. But it seems like the key to success in that job is the balance. So how can recruiters that are on a 360 desk best manage their days to balance those two very distinct areas?
Let me tell you what, I love the 360 desk. It's the model that I grew up with in the industry. I was mostly a direct hire guy and had responsibility for both building my client base and building my candidate base. And I liked it because, like many recruiters, I'm a bit of a control freak. So you can touch a lot more.
Sure.
The key to success in a 360 desk, you're right, it is a lot of work and it's a lot to juggle. And the success, in my opinion, like any other role, lies in planning, time management, and the ability to be able to quickly shift priorities based on a given situation. I'm a big advocate of planning, Todd. And I believe you have to start every day with a plan. And you have to focus on working through that plan you know you're going to get interrupted. So you have to decide in the moment, is the interruption more important than what you're working on in your plan? And if it is, you've got to be willing to abandon your plan and tend to the interruption. If not, you have to be disciplined to say, I can get to that later. Let me finish working my plan. And that sounds easy conceptually, but in application, it's very, very difficult to ignore interruptions that come throughout the day. But if you don't have a plan, you're constantly going to be in reactive mode. So I found that 360 desk recruiters can be most effective if they balance their weeks half business development, half candidate recruiting. I've, you know, personally, and I've seen others try, hey, on this day, I'm only going to recruit. On this day, I'm only going to work with clients. On this day, I'm only going to check references. And that never seemed to work out because of the interruption factor.
Right.
So you need to know what activities are going to yield the most productivity and plan accordingly. The cool thing is with market data, we can plan a recruiter's activity if we want to down to the day as far as how much of each activity they need to accomplish in order to hit their goals or quota, if you will. I'm a big believer in time blocking. So I like educating people on allowing, you know, blocking out your time in 45-minute increments throughout the day on focused activities. So short bursts of high intense pre-planned activity. And on a 360 desk, you got to have blocks for recruitment and blocks for business development every day. But, you know, it all comes down to planning. You just have to balance it and commit to it.
As we're heading down the home stretch here of 2019 with 2020 on the horizon here and the possibility of the dreaded R word, the recession coming, what are the most important aspects of training that we need to start looking at right now to prepare our team for a possible recession?
It's funny, we say the R word and the market continues to hit record highs. So I one day you're hearing people preach gloom and doom and the next you're hearing people say, hey, everything's great. And it's kind of funny. It's good theater. Above and beyond anything else, Todd, whether it's a recession or a thriving market, recruiters just have to stay true to the fundamentals of the business and what works for them. If we do enter a recession, recruiters can still make money if they know how to recruit talent. And again, you might say, well, isn't that what recruiters do? But again, so many times, as you mentioned earlier, the investment is not made to actually train the recruiter on how to recruit. So, you know, I've worked through a couple economic downturns and, you know, thankfully have made it through and been successful. During those times, recruiters may have to work two or three times as hard to make the same amount of money. But if they know how to find talent, they'll always be a value add to their customers. And if they build strong relationships, they'll be value add. So that's the mindset they have to have. Those who build the relationships and take the mindset of, hey, it's going to be a give and take, not just I'm always looking to take from you, they'll be fine. You'll have to stay in touch with those clients and stay in touch with those candidates and touch them more during the economic downturn or recession than you do during a good economy, just to keep the relationship going. And they'll be pleasantly surprised, if you will, that you're calling to tell them about what's going on in the market, calling to help them work through a difficult hiring scenario that you have no vested interest in. Being that consultative partner, knowing that you may not get anything from it now, but when the economy comes back, and it always does, you'll be the one they remember. And that's the key. If you don't stay in touch with them, they're never going to remember you. But if you do, they will. So it's more important during bad times to stay in touch with your clients and candidates than it is in good times. But again, you got to know how to recruit as opposed to posting ads and hoping that people send you their resume.
Well, you're certainly preaching to the choir here, because that's something that we have tried to stress to this industry. I've been through two or three myself now, that now is not the time to pull back on marketing and sales. And now is the time to make sure that you're out there and staying top of mind and providing, like you said, and I love this point about providing information and being a consultant. And even if it doesn't result in, a sale today, you're building that brand equity with your clients and with your prospects and even with your candidates, so that when they are ready, they're definitely going to remember you and appreciate everything that you did for them.
I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said.
Yeah. I want to give you a chance before we let you go here. I know you have a book that is out, so I want to give you a chance to tell everybody about that and how they can get access to that.
thank you. I am proud of the book. Earlier I mentioned where I think that the recruiting industry falls off when it comes to training and teaching and the fundamentals of recruiting. So I decided to write a book on just that. The book is called Moneymakers, and it provides 52 fundamental recruiting best practices, one for every week of the year, if you will, that, you know, if mastered, will make any recruiter better than they are today and help them develop a deeper relationship with their clients and candidates, ultimately help them more money as a result, make them more money as a result of their performance. So it's available on Amazon. I'm proud to say that many firms have reached out to me. They're using the book as a foundation for their training. And just last weekend, the book hit number 29 on the bestseller list for sales and business books. So it's gotten good reviews, and I'm very, very humbled that people see value in it. But again, it's all about stressing the fundamentals. So if you want a good primer, it's a great one to get.
Yeah. Again, it's Moneymakers, Proven Ways to Increase Sales and Productivity in the World of Professional Recruiting. Is John Ruffini, R-U-F-F-I-N-I. You can look that all up on Amazon to get yourself a copy. And I have one here sitting right in front of me. And I got to say, it's a nice, easy read. It's, you know, you basically flip to any page and find some bit of take home value into it. So I really like when books are laid out very simply like that, John. So I appreciate that. And I think you did a great job with that. He is John Ruffini, Vice President of Professional Development at HealthTrust Workforce Solutions. If you'd like to find out more about them, you can check out healthtrustjobs.com. John, I can't thank you enough for coming on today and sharing some of your secrets to staffing and recruiting success.
Todd, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
My big thanks to John Ruffini from HealthTrust Workforce Solutions. One of the things I wanted to focus on here as we close out the show was that investment aspect of training. As we head into 2020, there's a lot of uncertainty there. Is the recession coming? Is it going to be a major recession? Is it just going to be a little dip? We don't know. That uncertainty, though, we need to be prepared for. And that's why it's so important to make those investments now when things are going well. We tend to be too reactive instead of being proactive when it comes to stuff like this. But be proactive now with your training investment, with your marketing investment, with your sales investment, so that even if we do have a major downturn, it's going to take the sting out of that a little bit. Like I said, I've been through two or three of these myself, and I can say that all the clients that we have that have made that investment in those areas now leading into the recession have really been able to survive and come out on top at the end of it. So don't think of, you know, training as a burden or, you know, even like we said, that personalized training as, oh, geez, this is a lot of work. I've got all these recruiters and I got to customize their training for them. No, look at it as an investment in your future and an investment in your success and your ability to survive no matter what the economic outcomes are. That'll do it for us this week on Secrets of Staffing Success. You can find us on all the usual places, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, the podcast app on your Apple device, and at HaleyMarketing.com. And wherever you're listening to us, we would really appreciate it if you would take a quick moment and leave us a review. Let us know what you think about the show. Let us know who you'd like to see on a future episode. That'll do it for us. We will talk to you next time on Secrets of Staffing Success.